How's everybody this morning? Good. All right. It's Lord's Day. I don't know about you guys, but I really look forward to the assemblies of the saints. Lord's Day in particular, I get to gather with the saints around the Lord's table, get encouragement, get equipped, right? Get edified, all that great stuff. So I'm excited that it's the Lord's Day. It's my favorite day of the week. I hope it is yours. This morning, just by way of kind of introduction, let's turn to 2 Corinthians. This is not going to be my text, but I want to start here because it'll lead into my text. We're going to go to 2 Corinthians 4, and then we're going to go over to Colossians 1. So stick your finger in Colossians 1, and get ready for 2 Corinthians 4. And let's do all things properly, right? Orderly manner. So anybody that's lingering outside the tent, come on in. Right? Okay. Alrighty. 2 Corinthians 4. I'm going to pick it up kind of in the middle of a thought here, but, we'll go ahead and get 16. Beginning in verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory, far beyond all comparison, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. All right, let's turn over to Colossians chapter 1 now. And let's begin in verse 9. We're going to go to verse 12. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously, are you getting it? Rejoice! Again, I will say, rejoice! There's not enough of that goes on in some of the assemblies I've attended. I'm going to be honest with you. Rejoice! I look at some of the guys, is it okay to have humor here? Is it okay to be upbeat? You know, am I too excited? Is there such a thing in the Lord's church? Good. Because I've been accused of being overly dramatic and excited. I watched Mark. Was that you, Mr. Miller, back there? Named Mark Miller? Might have been. See, this is what happens when I get up here. Nothing but heckling. Okay? I really do like Mark Miller's preaching. Mark, did you hear that? I like your preaching, so now you be quiet, okay? All right, so let's go back to my text, which I got thrown off. I guess I'm just supposed to power through that, right, Mark? Yeah. Joyously! I deserve every bit of it. Every bit of it, okay? Oh, with all steadfastness and patience, too, yeah, right? Joyously, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us. Geez, that gives me chills. I don't know about you guys. And it's not because it's 38 degrees. He's qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints. You ain't no black-hearted sinner. It says the saints. I'm serious, brother. I get excited about this stuff. In the inheritance of the saints in light. Now, I'm looking around and I got to put my spectacles on because I'd like to have, I don't need my spectacles for this. I want Mr. Mike Harbor to come up and pray for my message. This is my daughter's father-in-law. This is probably the best guy she could have for a father-in-law, outside of maybe Steve Doty. But come on. You're going to get all barrels with me, man. Nobody's safe. Would you pray for the message, Brother Mike?
He needs it. Our great God in heaven, it is a privilege to come together this morning, Father, to partake of devotions, to devote ourselves. Father, to be devoted to You, to surrender. God, to set the course of our mind for this day. I just pray now that You would be with Kevin as he brings us this lesson. Father, help him to remember the things that he has studied and not to stray off course too much. And I just ask that You would be with him, Father, and that we would be edified. And, Father, that we would learn to rejoice and that we can learn more with smiles on our faces than frowns on our faces. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Appreciate it, brother.
I guess I should put my glasses on so I can see what kind of response I'm getting from you, although it won't really matter. Actually, it does. It matters a lot. Brother Nunn, this is the battle. Last night, Luke touched on a lot of this, so some of it's going to be a little bit of a review. But this is the battle in the church. Isn't it what Paul was praying for the Colossians? Paul prayed a very similar thing for the church in Ephesus. It's the same, isn't it? He says, I'm praying. And what we need the people in the churches to understand, in the assemblies, brethren, is that they will be filled with the knowledge of His will. How? In all spiritual wisdom. Have you ever been in accused of, you over-spiritualize everything? You ever been accused of that? I have. Everything's spiritual, and I just say amen. Because the Scripture says I'm supposed to think that way. I'm supposed to have an elevated mindset. Now, when people are immersed in Christ in our assembly, when I talk to them, I say, praise God, when you were immersed into Jesus Christ, your name was changed. You know, from sinner to saint. But I say, you also, like many of the men that are mentioned in the Bible, Old and New Testament, have more than one name. Now, in reference to the church, they're all good names. But there's a guy out there that's roaring like a lion, seeking somebody to devour, and your name is now Target. So when they're immersed into Christ, I don't know, you're coming out of the waters, and boy, you are the target. A young Christian is a target of Satan. And any of you that have ever studied with people, you'll know once they become Christian, I've experienced this a lot, seems like a lot of things start to hit them just before they're going to get immersed. You guys ever notice that? Things start to happen. Or right after they get immersed, things start to happen. It seems to me like their faith starts to get rocked at two important times. But again, my whole point here, brethren, is we have to build them up with spiritual wisdom. Help to move them, as Luke talked about last night, from the physical to the spiritual. Now, it took God, from Abraham's time to Jesus, 2,500 years or so, round. I'm just throwing out some round numbers. I know they're not going to be exact. To prepare the people for the Christ to come and to move them into the spiritual realm. 2,500 years. You think it's going to take a little time in a church to move a new Christian from physical things to spiritual things? Yeah, it's going to take a little time. So you're going to have to repeat things over and over? Yeah. Paul said, it's good for me to remind you of these things again. It is no trouble for me. It's a safeguard for you. He said that to the Philippians. So you got to work things over and over and over again. So in the church, in the assembly in Billings, you know, I've got a few favorite passages. And I can start to say anything, and guys in the congregation will start to yell out those passages. You know, I've had questions that I put in the bulletin that we answer each week, and I'll have the question, and invariably I'll say, okay, here's the question from last week's bulletin, you know, as I'm getting ready to start the morning Bible class, and they'll start yelling out, Hebrews 12, 22 through 24. Yeah, Hebrews 12, 22 through 24. And those of you who don't know what that passage is, read it. Read it a lot. Because as we're going through the minor prophets this weekend, and they start talking about Zion, my holy mountain, Jerusalem, you know, understand all those prophecies, brethren, are fulfilled in you, the church. Minor prophet study, you know, major points in the minors we're doing this weekend. I've been going through the minor prophets with the assembly in Billings for over 2 years. I'm finally into Zechariah. There's some awesome stuff. There's some great stuff. Now, let's turn over to 2 Kings. This is going to be my, hopefully my only old passage testament I'm going to swing back to. I'm going to mark my spot here. 2 Kings 6. Some of you are going to be very familiar with this. I think actually it might have been mentioned earlier in the camp. I'm trying to remember. Very familiar to me. Hopefully it will be to you. This is when the Arameans were warring against Israel, and the king's trying to take him out, and every time it seems like he does something, Israel knows what's going on, and his plans are thwarted. So he's trying to figure out what's going on. Let's pick it up in verse 11 of 2 Kings 6. He says, "Now the heart of the king of Aram, Syria, was enraged over this thing, and he called his servants and said to them, 'Will you tell me which one of us is for the king of Israel?'" I think that's the way they talked in the Bible. You know, I don't think you'd come up and read something like this and go, "Will you tell me which of us is for the king of Israel?" Do you hear a king talking like that when he's hot about what's going on? "One of his servants said, 'No, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom.'" Kind of big brotherish, huh? "So he said, 'Go and see where he is that I may send and take him.' And it was told him, saying, 'Behold, he is in Dothan,'" or Dothan, depending on how you want to pronounce it. "He sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. Now, when the attendant of the man of God," servant of the man of God, sound familiar? Servant of God, okay? "Had risen early and gone out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was circling the city. And his servant said to him, 'Alas, my master, what shall we do?' So he answered." Now, here's the way I see this. This is morning. He goes out, sees the army of Syria. And I see the prophet here, right? Elisha, kind of standing there. He's, now, I'm going to westernize this, Americanize it. Oops, I'm going to kick somebody's bullets there. He's grabbing his toast after his... You know, this early in the morning, the servant runs in screaming, hollering, all worked up. He finishes buttering his toast. And then he goes, "Let's go to a word to our sponsor. 'Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them.'" Can't you see a servant? That talk is cheap, Elisha. There's an army out there. So then he goes, one more. "Oh, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." Okay, go check things out now. So the servant goes out, and here's what happens. "The Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha." So, boop, the spiritual realm comes open, doesn't it? It's revealed. And the servant goes, "Whoa. Great is he who is with us, or in us, and he who is in the world." Wow. I think I got this thing, Elisha. Thank you. You popped my eyes open. That's what we're trying to do with our Christian brethren, right? That's what we all want to do for ourselves. Amen? So it's all about being filled with spiritual wisdom, the knowledge of his will. So, brethren, now, Elisha had the king of Aram and his armies. We got Satan coming against us. That's a pretty good opponent. Wouldn't you guys say? No minor adversaries, as we've all heard many times. So what are we going to do with our brethren? We got to convince them, just like the scripture says, greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. See, the God of this world, brethren, once you become a Christian, what he's going to try and do is the same thing he did to Eve, and that Adam jumped in and participated in. He's going to try and show you something desirable and lovely from the world. He's going to try and suck your spiritual focus that's starting to climb up into heaven. He's going to try and suck it back down. And that's what he does with Christians. Get their focus back on the earth and off of heaven. So we need to get them filled up. That word is, can mean in the Greek, I'm not going to do a lot of Greek lesson, but it can mean crammed full, be complete, filled up. What's the purpose of the assemblies? Luke hit it last night. Hey, what's the purpose of this, brethren? Are we having a good time? Are you? I'm glad you are, but we're here to be equipped. You know, when the assembly gets ready to kick off, whatever day it is, Friday night, Saturday morning, Sunday morning, whatever, it starts, we should be in here singing the songs and giving the speakers, not irrespective of it being me, giving the speakers the attention they deserve. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Okay, the evening assembly at 7 o'clock, we're going to see how we do. What do you guys say? Shall we encourage our brethren that aren't here? I can remember Jay, man. He still does it. He says 8:45, 9 o'clock, he starts. And to our shame, some of us aren't in here, huh? Oops, he's dancing on my toes. Right? We need to be here. This is the purpose, really. We're being encouraged. We're being equipped. We got to go out there. This is real. It's not a playground, somebody said. It's a battleground. So let's fill them up. Fill them up with the real knowledge, the true knowledge. Spiritual things, not the physical. There's all kinds. I mean, let's just turn over to Ephesians real quick. We're going to run through a bunch of passages this morning, I hope. How much time do I have till about when do I got to quit?
Till lunch.
Thanks, Roger. Let me see. 1:7, Ephesians. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished on us. In all wisdom and insight, He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His kind intention, which He purposed in Him with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth. Now, brethren, I have had a mantra that I have carried with me for many years now, and I tell people very simply, I preach one message and I try and work those points in most of my messages. Know Jesus. He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His kind intention, which He purposed in Him, right? The summing up of all things in Christ. Know Jesus. Right? And then know who you are in Christ Jesus. Know your purpose. Paul's praying a prayer here, brethren, that's basically saying that those very same things. Know Jesus. Know who you are in Christ. Know your purpose in our text. Okay? Now, turn back over to Colossians. Chapter 2. Just talking about knowledge, wisdom, some of these things. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf, and for those who are at Laodicea, and for all those who have not personally seen my face, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love, and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ Himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now look at it, verse 4. I say this so that no one will delude you with persuasive argument. You see how damaging things like premillennialism are? Physically based. You see how damaging that stuff is? Turn back to the book of Ephesians again. Go to Ephesians. Chapter 3. Keep your finger in Colossians. Ephesians 3. Beginning in verse 8. To me, Paul speaking, the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles and nations the unfathomable riches of Christ, and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God, who created all things, so that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church. Guess who He entrusted this to? You. You. You can't hide you. He entrusted to you. May be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which He carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord. You need to teach the brethren, God has confidence that we can get this done. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? I believe it. Now, brethren, when one in the assembly is struggling, now you can do two things. You can say, I don't get it that Sister Susie, her faith is so weak. What's wrong with Sister Susie? Well, how about you, brother? What's the use, you know, Sister Susie? You know, I think it was Matt Harford said his children came up with this annoying habit of pointing. I do that. Holly! All right, but three fingers back at me. Now, it's a great point, you know. How about you, brother? What can you do for Sister Susie? What can you do? Well, how about you do what Elisha did? How about you do what Paul did? You pray, Lord, open their eyes that they might see these great riches, this wisdom, this knowledge, these spiritual things. Move them, Lord. Move them from the physical into the spiritual. Help me to help them see this stuff. It made a huge difference in my life when the connection started to be made, brethren. When I started to understand who I really am. Do you really know who you are? I mean, really? Do you? This is what we need to understand. That's why it bugs me when I go into the assemblies, you know, and it's the local meeting of the EOR organization. Right? Everybody comes in. Well, thanks for noticing me. You know? Really? Hi, Don. Don't lift your head too high. Okay, thanks. Thanks for noticing me. Yeah, really. Yeah. Okay. Wow. What a great day it is in Jesus. Yeah. Where, brethren, it's all messed up. You don't know who you are. David knew who he was. What did he do? King David. Here comes the ark!
Dance, dance, dance.
Woo! Right? You know, we're not Eeyores, we're Tiggers. Right? That's the way we should be coming into the assemblies. I'm not kidding. In Billings, we are excited. You guys think we're crazy and radical. Luke, how much do you love the assemblies? I saw his head. Don't you love the assemblies? You talked about it last night. I mean, I love coming to the assembly in Billings. Just like he said, we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. We are being told continuously who we are. The brethren get up and they just keep saying, look how great this is! Look how great this is! Look how great this is! Now, brethren, I tried when I was an early Christian bashing people over the head with the Scripture. I thought I was doing a great job. I'm doing a bad job. Do people need to be reproved and rebuked? Yeah, that's two things that, you know, men in leadership need to do. Doesn't mean we just act like we don't see what's going on. But, you know, something Brother Jay said, and it, you know, it took me a while to really hear it. I kept reading it, seeing it, and the words kept coming and going zip, whoom, through my ear until I finally realized what he said is absolutely correct. Build up, build up, build up. In the Scripture, I looked at the New Testament talking about we're building up a spiritual edifice. We're not tearing it down, aren't we? Hey, I got an idea. Maybe if I'm more encouraging, things will go better. Wow. Bing. Kevin has a better idea all of a sudden, right? It works. So, you know, I keep telling people when they're, so-and-so, I got a problem. I say, well, what can you do to help them? What can you do to encourage them? That's what it's really all about. We come here, we get equipped, we get encouraged. When guys come up here and they deliver great messages and you have the give and take in the assembly, brethren, you know, it's not wrong for Mark Miller to say something to me. He may be wrong, but it's not wrong. Okay? It's not. In our assembly, when guys are preaching, Luke will tell you that we have give and take in our assembly. Guys will say things from the assembly. I mean, to the speaker. I'm like, that's the way it should be, shouldn't it? Are the Pentecostals the only one that get to have fun in the assembly?
Hallelujah.
Amen. I'm serious. Now, I'm not talking about being out of control, brethren. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to come in and find Luke rolling on the aisle, giggling uncontrollably. I'm like, uh-oh, we got trouble. You know? I don't want to see that. I'd love to see Mark Harbor do it. You know, but I don't want to see Luke do it. I'm pretty sure. Now, how are you appraising these things? I remember one of the great messages among many that Mark Miller delivered, talking about appraising things spiritually. It's all about how you appraise this stuff, brethren. How do you appraise your brother or sister in Christ? Do you still see him in the flesh? Shame on you if you do. We no longer recognize. How? Who do you see? I look at Benoit Thomas, I see Jesus Christ. He's been clothed, hasn't he? God looks down and he says, there's my boy. He looks over, sees Stan Zesh. He says, my people have been praying for my boy Stan. How many have been praying for Stan? How many know about Stan's situation? Stan been battling cancer often. How you doing, Brother Stan? Great. He's got a great wife, too. Children to care. I mean, what? How about God's people? How many have been praying for Trish Wilson? Okay. And then we got people we go through, right? We pray for them. We care about them. Now, spiritually, appraising things. You have to appraise things properly, brethren. And that's what you do with a Christian. When they're struggling, they're fighting, they put themselves under law, you start to paint the picture, this is who you are. Where's Brother Mike Wodoseski? Is he in the assembly this morning, or is he working? Where are you at, Mike? Mike, is he working out there? Doggone it. Okay. I'm telling you, brethren, you can go to people in the assembly in Billings and talk to them. They will tell you, you know, that you need to repeat things hundreds of times. Brother Gary Carson, I don't think I see in here. I remember I told you, one time I made a statement up front in a message I preached. You guys probably think I repeat things way too much. All I got to do is say Hebrews, and you guys all say 12, 22 through 24. Here we go again. You know? But Gary Carson came up to me after that message and said, don't stop. He said, all these things you said, he said, I'm telling you, for a long time, I was like, what's the big deal? And he said, one time, with some reading I was doing in the New Testament, I think is what he told me, and the things you were saying, he said, it clicked. He said it made a huge difference in his life. So don't stop believing. Somebody stole that and put it to music. Right? So, again, brethren, my goal this morning is to convince you that God's wisdom is absolutely correct. And His wisdom says He entrusts the message to you. And I believe you can do it. And no one's going to persuade me otherwise. No one's going to delude me into some kind of persuasion says otherwise. The church can get the job done. You're able. As Brother Steve Doty would say, you be able. A little Michigander for you. That's all I'm going to go after you on, Steve. Okay? That's right. I forgot Mike follows me this morning. I'm in big trouble. But brethren, now is this great to have this kind of fun? And we're being serious, aren't we? We're being serious, but we're having fun. The assembly of the saints is fun. I'm not talking about uncontrollable, chaotic. It's fun. It's encouraging. I want to be at the assembly on Lord's Day. I look forward to it. I need it. How about you? I need it. Because Satan's out there, the god of this world, who we are doing battle with, not some king in Syria. We're dealing with the god of this world. And I need the assembly of the saints. I need to come in. I need somebody to tell me, even though I know a lot of this stuff, just keep reminding me. Luke, tell me. Luke, tell me. Mike, tell me. Jared, tell me. Clint, tell me. Don Kelly, tell me. I go through the names of guys that got this thing. Get up and encourage and tell us we can do this. Mikhail, tell me. Right? This has got to be done. Tell it over and over and over again. You want to walk in a worthy manner? Keep telling people those things. keep telling them. You're going to give them that, you know, walking in a worthy, that word worthy, that word in the Greek means, it means to draw the scales down. That means there's some weight. Hey, Paul's words were weighty, right? Letters are weighty. Whatever. Brethren, you got to have some weight. No lightweights. That was mentioned earlier by Jim Derry. It's, you know, I hope you guys aren't lactose intolerant, because when he preached, that was a dairy product. Okay? So, that one's for you, Mr. Wilson. But, off the cuff, I thought that was pretty good. But look, what are you? Are you a Romans 7 man? Romans 7 man, right? I know what the Bible says, but I just do the best I can, right? Are you a Roman 8er? What are you? That's right. You need to see yourself in that spiritual mirror. Right? You need to. Now, I need to get Jeff Hostetter up here to do that. You guys are going, get the 98-pound weakling off the stage. Get Hostetter up there. Right? Look, I look in the mirror and I'm bigger than Jeff Hostetter spiritually. I'm a Romanator. It says I'm going to do it. That's what it says. You guys believe it. Is this the kind of stuff you're telling the assembly? You can do this. This is who you are. We're going to put some weight in your walk. We're going to say you are a Roman 8er. This is all critical stuff, brethren. We're having fun, but it's critical that people understand these things. Now, no lightweights allowed. Bearing fruit in every good work. Jesus talked about four soils, Luke 8, Matthew 13, as I recall, right? Four soils. One was very fruitful, wasn't it? The word in the Greek there means it fertile soil, bearing fruit. Bearing fruit, fertile soil. I think it was Steve Compton, I remember once, and I don't see Steve, but I think he had a message once where either he was asking his brother, Bill, or Bill was asking him, but the question was asked, what kind of fruit are you? Or what kind of soil are you? I'm sorry. Now, I got a reason I messed up. I looked over at Aaron and I thought kiwi. Fruit. That's my story and I'm sticking to it. Okay, now, listen. Look. You are fertile soil. Now, if you're having a little trouble thinking that in your mind, hey, Jesus told the story about the guy that dug around the tree. He says, give me another year. I'll dig around this tree, throw some fertilizer in there. You know, let's see if it produces fruit. Now, that's my attitude towards anybody that's struggling. I'm going to dig around that tree. I'm going to throw some fertilizer in that soil. Let's get it to produce fruit. You guys say amen? Isn't that better? Let's rip that tree out! Get them out of here! How'd you like that to be you when you were struggling? Now, most of you, if you're going to be honest, you're going to say, yeah, there was a period I kind of struggled. You know, not all of us did that. I'm not saying that. But there can be a period. How'd you like that attitude? Take the tree! Ain't producing good fruit. Or how about, well, hold on. How about with gentleness, patience? You know, we kind of packing that fertilizer in there and rebuilding that soil. We're going to make them fertile soil. That's the way I'd want to be treated. How about you guys? Yeah, works. Now, again, I'm not saying ignore sin in the camp. I'm not saying that. I'm saying here's a way that works much better to get the job done in the assembly. And you have people coming to the assembly because they really believe that that you are there to help them. Not up there lording it over them. All right, all you. I immersed four people last year. How did you do? You know, I've heard of things where preachers, and I remember Brother Jay told me a long time ago, he said, some of the most competitive people are preachers. And I remember telling me that, Jay? He said, some of the most competitive people are preachers. And I've heard stories where guys are at gatherings, maybe like, you know, where I went to National Prayer Clinic, and they have conversations with one guy to another, and you start to press the guy on a topic in the Scripture, and he'll say, well, how many people are you running? I'm not running anybody. You know, or whatever. I mean, I remember one guy asked another guy that question. I wasn't there. I was told the story. How many people are you running? He gave him an answer. I don't know, 45. He says, oh, yeah? Well, I'm doing 175, whatever. And he rolled over and went to sleep on him. Supposedly a true story. I wasn't there. I'm trusting the source. Okay? How'd you like that? Who are you running? Hey, whose sheep are they? How many of you exercising stewardship over might be a better question. How many are you encouraging, right? So again, bearing fruit, right? In every good work. You want them to be able to bear fruit in every good work? Well, remind them they're fertile soil. Fertile soil. And they got to increase in knowledge. You know, I do believe that Peter said that, you know, if these things are yours and are increasing, talking about the, you know, the seven stair step, you know. I think I heard Mark Miller call it a wheel, a spoke in a wheel or something like that. And that was it, I think, at Peaks. I remember messages. Do you guys remember messages? I can remember who spoke it. I can remember the topic. And usually I can remember the time. Now, don't ask me what happened yesterday. I have no idea. But I can remember that. Now, if you're increasing in knowledge, it says you'll be found what? Neither unfruitful nor useless. You've got to increase in knowledge. So Luke asked last night, has the Scripture's novelty kind of worn off? Not to me, brethren. Not to me. Hey, you know what? If it's worn off, I challenge all of you, start studying the Old Testament stuff. It won't wear off. Go back, look at that Old Testament stuff, all those prophecies that are about you. That's what we're talking about this weekend. It's all about what God intended in you through Christ Jesus. That's what it's all about. So again, I always ask people, do you know who Jesus Christ is? Who is Jesus Christ, brother? I was standing in line with Brother David from New Zealand, and he said it's pretty obvious in the Scripture that Jesus is Jehovah. Is that going to be going out on the internet, what I just said? I'm a heretic. Yeah. I will be judicially disfellowshipped shortly. That's bunk. The Scripture teaches very clearly Jesus is Jehovah. Now, but again, you know, but he also teaches Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Kind of seem a little bit separate there too, right? So, you know, like I'm going to borrow Jay again. People come and say, well, what about this? It says it's pretty clear Jesus is Jehovah, but over here Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus says, hey, God, the Holy Spirit, Jesus don't have a problem with it. I don't. Pretty easy answer. But it's all for our understanding, isn't it? It's just so God can help us understand the spiritual things. So do you know who Jesus is? Do you know who you are in Christ Jesus? That's what you've got to understand, who you are. When you know who you are, you want to go do it. You know, the best managers I've ever worked for are the guys that would get right out there and do the work with you, and they were tremendous examples. The worst places I've ever worked, and I've worked in some, are where the manager is upset, angry, or depressed, right? And everybody that is around him is, you know, just down. Don't you just love to go into a place like that where it's negative, negative, negative? Well, so I've seen some assemblies like that, where it's just, you get the feeling that if you even start to act like you're happy, they're going to go, quit that! You know? There's way too much smiling going on around here. We are not somber or serious enough. I love working for guys that are excited. So I go into my job, where I'm at, and, you know, there's a lot of, it's base level starting stuff for people. And very manual labor, you know, manual labor. And they're feeding things into machines, and it's, you know, it can be monotonous, I'm sure. And you got managers out there, you know. And, I mean, what do you think the people look like? You can almost spiritually see them bowed over and bowed down, you know. And I've seen that in some congregations you go in, and you can just feel the weight. You know, that's what the law does to people, brethren. Law. We've got to whip them into line. How many people are you running? Well, I got about 175. I'm keeping in line. I'd rather have 45 that know who they are in Christ Jesus. There's a whole lot of things going to get done with those 45. The other 175 are, is it okay if I move over here? Another step okay? And that's their faith. You know, they're fearful that God's up there with a big 2x4. Just mess up. Right? Because that's the image they get from the leadership. Just mess up. We're going to take you out and I'll make another one just like you. Right? Brethren, it doesn't work. You need to get them increasing in knowledge so that they can be found fruitful and useful. So keep feeding them that stuff. Where are we at time-wise? 7:46. All right. Now, again, people will tell you, as you continue to spiritualize things, that, well, you're so spiritual-minded, you're no earthly good. Okay. If you're not spiritual-minded, brethren, you're no good. Let's just be honest. Okay? You're going to do nothing if you're not spiritually minded. You'll do nothing. And so I'm going to over-spiritualize everything. I'm going to. Because that's what I need to drive home to the Christian. So, I tell people where, like, okay, let's say I'm doing the Lord's Supper on the Lord's Day. I make a point, usually, I try to make a point going back into the Old Testament, find something in the Old Testament that's a prophecy or prophetic utterance that has something to do with the Lord's Supper, maybe partaking on Mount Zion or on this holy mountain. And I read it, I show it to him, I say, do you see what's going on? This is a prophecy. We're fulfilling it here today. We are seated in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Where have you come, church? Where have you come? And everybody goes, here we go. Hebrews 12, 22. But where have you come? Are you in Bozeman, Montana? Is it 30 Red Fox Lane now? Are we here, really? Remember, what's the real? I read that verse, those verses in 2 Corinthians 4 for a reason. What's the real, brethren? Spiritual. Where are we? Mount Zion, heavenly Jerusalem, city of God. Who have you come to? Christ Jesus. Myriads of angels. Covenant that speaks better than the blood of Abel. Where have you come? Now, you read that Hebrews 12, 22 through 24. Don't do it while somebody's up here preaching a message. Unless, of course, it's Mike Harbor. And because he's going to zap me. I'm toast anyway. Brethren, seriously, read that. And as guys are going through the stuff this weekend, and you see all the things that are mentioned about Mount Zion, Jerusalem, my holy mountain. You know, we touched on some of them last night. Mark Miller did with Micah and Isaiah about on this mountain. Okay? Brethren, those are all prophecies of you and me, and it has to do with us this morning. Now, I want to ask you, do you believe that? Do you really believe it? Are you too cold to say amen? Man, we haven't got to winter yet. Hey, wait until Jay says that the text for family camp is going to be 1 Chronicles 1 through 1 Chronicles 6. I can't wait for that, right? All the names. I'll look out here and there'll be tongues lolling out of the head. You've actually, I don't want to say threatened, but you've considered that, I think he said. Brethren, again, my whole goal this morning is I wanted to lift you up. I wanted to encourage you, and I hope I have done that. But again, I want you to just know who Jesus Christ is. Study that Bible. The Bible should never become, you know, the novelty's worn off, you know. That can't happen with the Word of God. It cannot happen. It's just so deep, so cool, so fascinating. Know who you are in Christ. Man, you are plan A. You're not plan B. I hate premillennialism. How about you guys? I hate it. It makes you and I basically an afterthought and of no real value. We're just a stopgap. Throw them in there to pass time till we get to this other thing. I hate that. It tells me I don't matter. It tells me you don't matter. You guys should hate it with every ounce in your body. And somebody says, make him fatter, Lord. Right? You should hate it. You want to get angry? Get angry about that stuff. I hate that kind of stuff. So know who you are in Christ Jesus, brethren. Know it. Know your purpose. You know, we're supposed to be increasing in knowledge and fruitful, you know, bearing fruit in every good work. Now, the real bearing fruit that only matters. Now, we should be taking on the fruit of the Spirit. Amen? We should. You know, all that joy, peace, patience, kindness, self-control. You know, we should have all those. But all those, brethren, are taught in the assembly for what reason? Luke hit on it last night. And I'm going to tell you again today. The reason for the assembly is to equip you for the work of service. Now, I want to spell that last word for you because some people spell it wrong. See, when you say the work of service, if you're in a mega church, here's what you spell service like. S-E-R-V-E-U-S. Did you get it? They're saying, preacher, preacher, serve us. And the scripture says, preacher, preacher, teach them to do service. S-E-R-V-I-C-E. See? So it's not serve us, it's service. How would they say that in Kiwi? Service. Oh, okay, service. Do you all get that? Service.
The proper way.
Mark, you got a handy rejoinder for that? I don't have the wit Mark Miller has either. That's one of the wittiest guys I have ever met. He's kind of like Matt Wilson. I kind of keep them both in my peripheral vision. Where are they? Where are they? Right? So, all right. This is a power. This is a privilege. With power, it says, in, you know, His glorious might. The actual literal is the might of His glory. The power position, brethren, is where? 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 What? Glory! Did you catch what Mark Miller brought out in his message last night? He said all these things that you're going to be filled or full or whatever came based upon what? Christ's ascension. Where's the power position for you? Glory! Do you see why Jay hammers at home? Do you see why the guys that like the passing pleasures of sin in the so-called churches out there fight it with everything they got? Because the power position's in glory. They want to be at the cross so that Jesus' blood is dropping on them. So they say, save me from my sin. Save me from my sin. I've been saved from my sin. How about you? I've been sent. I'm being equipped for the work of service. The power position is glory. That can never be hammered home enough, brethren. Where are you seated? You have come to Mount Zion, the city of God, heavenly Jerusalem. That's where you are. Now, that's the eternal. Because Hebrews also says that there's going to be a shake, shake, shake. Shake, shake, shake. Shake their booty, right? Shake their booty. And there's going to be one kingdom that's unshakable. And it's the one that's situated on Mount Zion, the city of God, in heavenly Jerusalem. And that's where you are. Now, how do you value that kingdom? Tells me and tells everyone else what you value in that kingdom by when you hit the assemblies. Now, I'm not talking about if you're sick or your work prevents you from being there. But it tells me how you value that and how you really see yourself. If assembly is a chore, a task, you go... check. Or if it's something you go, it's Lord's Day. Lord's Day, I get to see the saints. And I really believe and feel that way. I look forward to seeing you guys. There's something dripping up here? There is. There's water right there. I thought maybe Mike Harbor threw something at me. Anyway, all right, I'm going to close it here. This dunamis power, that's the Greek there, that's the power that you see in the New Testament that's usually translated miracle. That power, attesting signs. Check it out. It's that Greek word dunamis. And that's the power that you have, that God's given you. It's a miracle. Have you ever thought of that? You're a miracle in many ways. It's a miracle. It's a miracle to me. I'm a Christian. I stop and think about this. I go, wow. And then I start to think the God of the universe resides in me. I tell people stop when you're reading the scripture and go slow. read it, think about it. If there isn't passages, ain't isn't a word, right? That make the hair on the neck stand up and give you chills, man, there's something wrong with you. We need to work on your faith picture and reconvince you the Bible's true. Do you know who you are? Do you know who you are? Man, this is exciting. Super exciting for me. So, let's understand who we are. We'll be able to persevere. We'll be patient. And we will be joyful. Joyful, right? And the thing that bothers me most is when I want to be joyful, I want to remember the good things that are in me and in others. When somebody like Luke mentioned in his message wants to tear it down. A critical spirit, brother, destroys. A critical spirit destroys. I can check you all out. Give me 10 minutes with you. I'll find a flaw. And then I'm going to say, all right, you're going to be in my next message. You're like, oh, no. How about if I come and I find out all the great things that God says you are according to my faith? And I say, you're in my next message. Now, how do you feel about that? Big difference. Big difference. All right. Now, I want to go back to knowledge for just one quick thing to close out. And this is it. We're going to be just about 8 o'clock. You go into the Bible bookstores in your local town. You're going to go in there and you're going to find all the books by the writers. You know, Max, Luke warmed over, though, you know, whoever. Telling you about, you know, things that they claim God says. I want to tell you something. Those guys, majority of those guys, 99.9% of those guys got books in those stores are wrong about a lot of stuff. In the media today, you know, you got all your people running for office out there, right? And the ones that are feeling that they're being misrepresented, they call them the mainstream media. And they've got lots of names for them. Lamestream media, you know, you can think of them all up. And they don't present people properly. And, of course, the one guy that's probably the most constitutionally minded that's out there running, Ron Paul, gets virtually no recognition. And, you know, I've got a son-in-law that I think he's, you know, we got Ron Paul Monday, Ron Paul Tuesday, Ron Paul Wednesday, you know, Ron Paul. And, I mean, he's a big supporter of Ron Paul, right? And that's great. I mean, that's fine. But, brethren, you know, our hope can't be in things of this world. Our hope has to be in Christ Jesus, amen? And the way we're going to change this country is one soul at a time with the gospel. We need to remember that. But all this other stuff that's being pitched out there by all the guys in the religious community, you know what that is? That teaching that they're putting out there in those books they're writing? That's vain stream media, according to Jesus Christ. This people honors me with their lips, right? What does he say? Vain. In vain do they worship me. That's vain stream media. All that junk. You go with what the Bible says. Pay attention to that. Okay? That's my encouragement to you guys. Don't listen to that other stuff. Don't listen to guys that aren't preaching what the Bible says. Listen to the ones that want to tell you what the Bible says, who you are. Because I look out there and I see you all and I see God up there going, there they are, my children. And He is happy to see you here. Happy. Just as I am. These messages excite me and remind me that God says, I put my trust in you guys and you can do it. You have my confidence. Go get them. Tigger!